Our Old Testament scripture today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 24, verses 34 through 38, and 42 through 49. And you can find this on page 20 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become wealthy. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female slaves, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he has given him all that he has." And then skipping down to verses 42 to 49. "I came today to the spring and said, 'O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will only make successful the way I am going, I'm standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from your jar to drink, and who will say to me, drink, and I will draw from your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son.' Before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her water jar on her shoulder. And she went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, 'Please let me drink.' She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, 'Drink, and I will also water your camels.' So I drank, and she also watered the camels. Then I asked her, 'Whose daughter are you?' She said, 'The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him.' So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to obtain the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you will deal loyally and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, so that I may turn either to the right hand or to the left." And our New Testament scripture comes from the book of Romans. Chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. And this you may find on page 157 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh, I am a slave to the law of sin." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. You know, Paul has been talking as we've gone through Romans chapter 6 and now we're in Romans chapter 7, about grace and sin and human nature. And in Romans chapter 7, the passage that Helen has just read, it talks about an inner conflict, and some of the commentaries actually say either the human nature or the sin in man. We've said a number of times it's by faith and by faith alone that we're saved. Paul says that again and again, and we look at faith as the foundation upon which we can be declared righteous. Abraham sent his servant off to find a son for his, to find a wife for his son Isaac. And we've heard how God prepared a way for the daughter to be found for Isaac. How but by the grace of God could that have worked out? God has a plan, as we've sung in the anthem today. He has a plan for all His children to make us all a family. God chose us. It's one thing when we come before, and when Peyton Ashley comes of age and goes through confirmation class and makes that profession of faith on her own, or confirms the profession of faith made for her by her parents and her godparents, when they realize that Jesus is Lord, that they realize that God the Father is whom they shall serve, when they realize the Holy Spirit is the one whom they want in their lives each and every day, and they confirm that, all we're doing is responding to the choice that God's already made because He has chosen us. Imagine how many times when we read the Old Testament, how many times God could have just walked away from all of Israel, just said, we're done. He didn't do that with Noah. He didn't say, I'm done. We have a rainbow every time it rains as a promise that He's never ever again going to do that. When we look at the Scriptures and see how God's promise is repeated again and again, and how His love and His sacrifice is repeated again and again, how can we not realize that God loves us? Now, here's the dichotomy. Here's the challenge for us. Because Paul, in his presentation of the church at Rome, and he is speaking to them from a very Mosaic law frame of mind, in the sense that, remember last week I said the Ten Commandments are a list of things that we shouldn't do. Thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. It's a list of things not to do. But Jesus says, I come not to usurp the law, I come to fulfill it, because He tells us, well, what's the greatest of the commandments? When He was challenged, what's the greatest of the commandments? And He condenses those and He says, thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. And the second is no less than that, love the neighbor as thyself. So He's telling us that we're supposed to fulfill the law, which we can't do by ourselves, but do it through the power of Christ. It's not a list of things not to do. It's a list of things to do, so that we're not prisoners of sin, which we would be if we were stuck in law, because we can't fulfill the law. Because we know the wages of sin is what? Death. Now, we all know we're going to die. We all know that ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We have an expiration date in this current container, all right? And who knows that expiration date? God alone. But what we are also asked to do is to believe. And in believing, trust. And in trusting, do. And in the doing, it's not the things that we're not supposed to do, but the things that we should do. Now, we all understand that's what we should do. That's what the law teaches us. That's what grace shows us and enables us. Remember, last week I said when we were first talking about the first verses of chapter 6, I said that grace, which abounds, is the antibiotic or the depressor. It suppresses sin. Grace abounds and suppresses sin. Sin is the wages of death. Wages of sin is death. We're going to die. Well, with grace, we have life. And life how? Amen. And life how? Just a little bit of life? Just a little bit of life? Look at these guys and smile. Come on. A little bit of life? Man, butterflies, creeks, fishing, rivers, all kinds of things outside. Aren't those great thoughts? And you're stuck in here listening to me, right? All right. Well, hope is you're going to be able to enjoy those things later today. But listen to what Paul says. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, how is that not the human condition? And he realizes, and some of the commentators say, well, he's saying I. Well, is he speaking personally about him, Paul, or is he speaking collectively about all the Jews? Because he's speaking, remember, about Mosaic law. And Paul, we have to understand, he was the Pharisee's Pharisee. In other words, he was as legalistic as a Jew could be. He knew every iota, he knew every stroke of the law, and he faithfully tried to discharge and follow that completely. And he realized that he couldn't. And in not being able to do that, he condemned himself to death because he's going to sin. He knows he's going to die. But yet, he understands that, now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. In other words, he realizes that the law was there and showed him what he shouldn't do. But it also shows him what he should do, which is what Christ had said. To not look at it as a list of do nots, but rather look at it as a list of things to do. How many of you have had honeydews lists? How many guys? Come on, honeydew lists. Okay. How many of you still have some active items on that list? Our work is never done. Amen. Amen. As long as there's work to do, hey, listen, Lord, you can't take me today. I've got a whole list of things that Terry wants me to do. He goes with 18. He says, for I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. Now, I'm going to throw another phrase out there that I know you have heard. Ivy, have you heard the road to that place, Hades, is paved with what? Good intentions. Our best intentions are to do what Jesus wants us to do, to not do the things that Scripture tells us not to do, but rather do the things that the Scriptures tell us to do. But wait. Well, that's our intention. Paul is speaking to the human condition. Our best of intentions, what? Fall flat. How many of us have been able to live out the life that we know God wants us to live? You don't have to put your hands up. Bob, I understand. Now we know what the human condition is. But you know what? We are not left in the human condition. Jesus Christ came so that we would not be left in the human condition. Jesus Christ came so that we would not be slaveries to sin and death, which is the wages of sin is death. What? Jesus came to free us. Now, how does he do that? How does he do that if we don't accept what he's done for us as something that you and I could not have done? And each and every day, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through, take on the full armor of God. We don't just get a little bit of God. We take all of God. And we recognize that every day, every single day, is one in which we need the Holy Spirit in us. Because the good that I would do, that I will not do. That I would not do, I end up finding that that's what I'll do. And I will continue to do that so long as I don't allow God to come in and change and modify the way I'm acting, the way I'm thinking, what I'm saying, how I'm doing things. We know that Paul says faith and faith alone. It's by faith that we're saved. James tells us, though, that faith without works is what? Tinkling brass. So we need to do something about it. So there's the good that we should be doing. That's what we need to do. Because here's the other piece. In verse 21, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. That's always there. It's the human condition. I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wait a minute, Paul, what's going on here? You can feel the anguish coming out of these words. It's like, I know what the law says. I know what I should be doing. But I find myself unable to do it because I'm me. You're you. And we're stuck in that. Here's the get out of jail free card. Here's the aha. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Question mark. New sentence. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if we trust in anything other than Jesus Christ, where are we going to end up? Where our abilities leave us. Dead. If we enable and trust and follow and have faith in Christ, where does that leave us? 1 Thessalonians, trumpet sounds, clouds open, Jesus descends, the graves give up the dead, and the faithful rise, and we meet him together. And what do we have? A new Jerusalem and a new resurrection body. That's our hope. Whether you read the piece in 1 Thessalonians or you read the Revelation 20. We know that God wins. The point is we need to be servants of God, empowered by God, embracing the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, recognizing that if we want freedom from the wages of sin, which is death, if we want freedom from that, how do we get it? In Christ. As long as Christ is in us. That's freedom. I've read this a couple of times. Peterson writes in the Message, this is a new translation, in his Message, verse 24 and 25, this is Romans 7. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, comma, thank God, comma, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally indifferent. Freedom in Christ. And through Christ. Freedom from sin and death is freedom indeed. If Jesus has set you free, then you are free indeed. Shalom. Amen.